We won't be silent. We will be super zeros. We won't apologize. We are the Super Zeros.
It's issue 4 of Super Zeros, the podcast that was recently censored by the Comic Code Authority. Thanks for coming back this week. And you got myself, Perfect Paul.
And Rudimentary Ryan.
Oh. So you're just really good at like the basics.
I'm really good at the basic shit. Whatever that is, like paying bills and going right. for groceries.
Right. It's kind of funny because, yeah, I've never seen a superhero that just prides himself on doing basics.
Average monochromatic man yeah. is what they should call it.
Yeah, you know,
just wearing headphones and walking down the street.
Just walks down the street. A successful day of doing nothing, everyone.
That's right. Observe as monochromatic man applies for disability like other Americans.
I can join us next week when he stands in line at the post office.
That's right. Yeah.
So welcome back as we're going to try to bring you all the, I don't know, irreverence having to do with comics, superheroes, movies. Because we're not doing all superheroes this week.
No, but if it's a niche, nerdy, dorky, geeky thing, we're doing it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So, without further ado, let's get right into nerd news.
Nerd news.
And I would think the top story, well, maybe the top story, considering it was the largest movie release in the history of movies. They've started to talk about the second Avengers film, which will, of course, be Age of Ultron. And they've said that they're going to go Nolan with it.
Did they actually say it that way?
Yeah.
So what does that mean to you, since you're...
What does that mean to me?
Since you're such a huge Nolan fan.
What that means to me is that none of the characters will line up with their biographies. They'll completely ignore, like, plot holes, and they'll just poop a movie out so people will come to see it.
Well, what it means to me is hopefully Natalie Portman dies. I love Natalie Portman, but her relationship with Thor is abysmal. It is. Like, just see, kill her off right in the beginning.
This will tell you, like, I have not seen... Well, I guess I can't say that. I saw the first and second Iron Man. I saw the first Captain America.
You didn't
see
two?
And I shut off Thor about halfway through.
I like Thor, actually.
Because I was just like, I don't care.
It's so fantastical. That's the fun part. You've got the Rainbow Bridge. And you've got the guy who stands guard at the Rainbow Bridge.
The Rainbow
sends people,
Bridge.
Sends people to other realms.
So, yeah, what they've said is that this... sequel, Avengers 2, is going to be darker. It's going to have more dark moments than the first family-friendly movie. But the question to me is, how dark are they really going to go?
Starts off with Pepper Potts dying. Like, she just gets thrown out the window. Because, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow doesn't want to do this shit anymore.
Was she in the Avengers?
Yeah, she was. She was there looking all hot with those legs. Remember, she likes being handed things.
With those legs.
Those legs. Gwyneth Paltrow has the best legs in the business. I don't care.
That's a funny way to me to put something when you say she's looking hot with those legs.
Oh, with the dat leg. Those legs.
So, like, of everything she has, it's legs. That's the only thing she's got, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, she's looking great. But she doesn't want to do this shit anymore.
I don't think Downey Jr. wants to do it anymore.
No. I mean, somebody's going to have to die or take on sort of an auxiliary role so that the other players can kind of come to the forefront. I don't know.
So, yeah, I guess they're quoting that they won't really say, you know, oh, man, how it's going to be dark. But like you had brought up to me, sequels are generally a little bit darker.
Yeah, isn't that the most common play in the handbook? I mean, if it's a sequel, what sequel went... all rainbows and fairy tales and unicorns. I mean, even Attack of the Clones, which was an abysmal movie. was still dark.
I was going to say, that's what you're going with.
It was still dark.
Well, I would think that, like, your two biggest, like, I'm trying to think of a word to say. Your two biggest, like, pillars of sequels would be The Godfather Part 2 and Empire.
Yeah, Empire Strikes Back. Everybody knows that's the dark one.
Yeah. Even if you think about it, maybe this could be top five. Top five sequels. That'd be a good list for one
day.
That
would be a good... Yeah.
But even, like, I'm thinking back now, even, like, Back to the Future 2 is dark.
What do they do? They went out west in the third one.
In the second one, they have to go back to the alternate 1985.
Oh, that's right.
And then they have to go back to 1955 again and redo everything.
Is that where he rode the surfboard?
He rode the hoverboard, in 2015. Yeah.
Yes. I just wanted the whole movie to be like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would even say, like, Back to the Future 2 is darker than the first one. That's interesting. But then they asked Whedon about Avengers 3, and it sounds like he doesn't want to do it.
They never want to do it. And when he makes all his money, he'll want to do it.
What he says is, the idea of doing this three times just staggers my imagination. I'm not that young, but then I hadn't really intended to do a second one. So in the third one, I'm probably just going to end up killing everyone. So it sounds like he doesn't even really want to do a second one, let alone a third one.
That's such bullshit. The minute that hit, he was talking like, oh, yeah, I got a trilogy planned. I love these characters. I'm so sick of it. It's your fucking love. It's your craft. It's what you do. Some guy literally collects mail and delivers it to people day in and day out. Josh Whedon, you get to fucking make these awesome movies. I'm just tired of the creative types. Like, oh, it's such a burden to work with all this talent and all this amazing script. And to be, oh, my God, we're going to do this again. Shut up.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree. I've actually caught myself in the last few weeks saying to myself, why should I care?
Like if he does it or not?
Well, not just if he does it, but, like, in terms of, like, celebrity, like, why do I care? Do you know what I mean? Like, what would make me, like, when they're announcing something, like, on TV, oh, fuck, this person's doing this. It's like, why do I care?
Oh, I know.
Like, I honestly don't give a fuck. Like, and it's really becoming annoying, too, that the same five people are in every movie.
Well, that would be Ryan Reynolds.
Well, I was thinking, like, Jennifer Lawrence. Bradley Cooper. Even Christian Bale's getting up there. Amy Adams.
Oh, yeah. But another one. Amy Adams and those legs.
What's that guy's name? He did David O. Russell. Like, that whole David O. Russell crew. Jeremy Renner is in way too many movies.
What are you gonna do?
Yeah. So I just the other day I caught myself, like, I was watching TV and they were talking about, oh, this fucking person did, and I was like, what the fuck do I care? Like, I honestly don't give a shit. Like, if that person's playing fucking Doctor Strange.
Well, you know, Avengers is going to be darker, and apparently our podcast got darker, too.
When today.
We just threw in the towel.
Go back with Super Zero's issue 2, darker than issue 1.
This is getting depressing.
No, sorry. I mean, that's just what I've been... Oh, Mark Wahlberg. That's a good segue right there. Mark Wahlberg is in way too many movies.
Mark Wahlberg's the man. He's like the working man's man, though. He's an actor's actor.
I'm an actor's actor.
He really is. Other actors watch him.
That's what you said about Vincent D'Onofrio, too. He's the actor's actor.
I mean, he could go from Max Payne to Shooter, and nobody knows.
Yeah, whenever
knows the
I
difference.
See him on the screen, I feel Max Payne.
Come on, watch The Departed. Mark Wahlberg, and that was brilliant.
The Departed's a great movie.
Yeah, and he's great as sort of a ensemble cast member.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
You got Alec, like, Baldwin.
Yeah, well, that's what I'll point to with Mark Wahlberg is the guy was the lead in The Fighter, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And all anybody remembers about that movie is Christian Bale.
I'd never seen the movie. Yeah, well.
So that's what I'm getting at is, like, I just don't trust him to carry a movie. And on that note.
Oh, he doesn't carry Transformers, I'm sure.
Transformers has made $200 million.
It hasn't got a single penny from me yet.
And I'm proud to say the entire franchise has never gotten a penny from me.
You've never seen a Transformers
movie? I've never, ever seen them.
Oh, come on. Not even the first one?
Nope. Never saw the first one, second one, third one, none of them.
You just not. You didn't want to see an explosion? You against explosions? Like, what
am I against explosions?
Yeah, like, did you just see the trailer? You're like, that's too many explosions.
Honestly, I don't. Transformers, I never really cared about, mm-hmm. I guess. I just, it was never something that interested me. When it's
you didn't
like
have
cars
a toy?
Changing you into people and stuff, like, I'm like, I don't give a fuck.
What? Well, you never like, had a Transformers toy?
I honestly want to say I didn't.
A Dinobot? Nothing?
Never. Never. Not that I can think of.
Even when McDonald's had them?
I mean, that in my head, that was the only thing I was thinking was if it was like a Happy Meal toy.
No,
that'd be
yeah.
the only way I would have had one.
That was the happiest meal I ever had back in the day.
I think like we found a Transformer.
Is that your Mark Wahlberg
that's
impression?
That's my Mark Wahlberg.
I will say this. I hated every single Transformers movie. And
did you
and
see them all?
Well, I haven't seen the new one.
But you went to the theater and paid money to see them.
I paid money to see the first one, did not go see the second one, waited until DVD.
Okay.
And then I went to see the Dark Side of the Moon one or whatever the fuck it was. It was Dark of the Moon, which was the third one. Because everybody kept talking about, oh, Chicago, the cinematography of Chicago is great and you get to see it get destroyed. And the whole last hour is nothing but a battle in Chicago. It's like, all right, I'm in. And you had that McDreamy guy as the villain. What's that guy? Is it Patrick? Dempsey.
Okay.
Which he's like a huge name in soap operas, if that tells you anything.
Yeah, because we all know that they're known for being the best actors out there.
Oh, he was terrible. Like, I literally looked over at my buddy and we were just like, oh my God. Like, I've never been so bored by missiles coming at the screen. And it was terrible.
Well, I guess what I would point to is I just see. Okay, this is why I think Transformers doesn't interest me. I like characters who have a moral obligation to do something.
Optimus Prime has a moral obligation.
He's a fucking semi-truck. What
he's
the hell
gonna
does
protect
he care?
The humans.
If the world blows up, he can just fly off the Earth and go to another planet. Like, he doesn't care.
No, he cares. He goes Sam Witwicky. The Allspark. We must protect it. And that's the main character, Sam Witwicky, I think, is his name.
That's your Optimus Prime?
Yeah.
I don't even think I could do Optimus Prime. I can't get my voice that low.
Sam.
What does he do?
Must
he goes,
protect
says, like, Autobots.
Autobots assemble or some
roll
shit.
Roll out.
Yeah, that's it. Roll out.
So yeah, Transformers 4 has made $200 million and
I'll
has,
see it.
You are going to see it?
I'm going to see it, yeah.
Like
I feel like he's got to improve his dialogue writing by now. The dialogue was so cringeworthy in the original 3. There's got to be some humor that kind of lands.
Yeah, they have lines like, I think we found a Transformer.
I was reading a review of one from Ain't It Cool News, and the review was titled, Just Fuck You.
To me, I guess what I would point to is, I guess it's true what they say like about people in abusive relationships. You just keep coming back for more.
I'm caught in a cycle
so
of
you're
violence.
Just, yeah, you're just coming back.
They're so, buttering me up by putting Mark Wahlberg in it.
So I guess, does that mean you're also going to see Transformers 5 because that's now in the works apparently.
It all depends on the trailer, man. I'm a trailer whore. So the trailer looks good, and which a Michael Bay trailer, just, you know, explosions, then all of a sudden somebody goes, man, that was intense, and then it cuts to something
somebody
else.
Drops a line. Yeah, it is some it's explosion, then it's someone dropping a comedic line like, ooh, there
usually
goes the neighborhood,
right? It's a stand. It's always, he stereotypes so well, too. So if you have a white guy, he's dumb as a brick and right. just walking around scratching his head the whole time. And right. the girl's taking pot shots at him like, right. you know, Danny, wake up. We got to go.
Who's the...
I don't know.
Who's the chick? Because obviously Megan Fox is in the first two. And then you had that Victoria's Secret model. She was in the third one, right?
Yeah, I
think
so.
Who's like the chick in this one?
Age of Extinction. It is Nicola Peltz. I think.
You can't even get a pitiful hot chick to be in your movie. You know,
she's pretty hot. Yeah, she was in such hits as The Last Airbender. And she's quite the easy on the eyes. Holy shit, she was born in 1995.
So she's not even of age yet, is she?
No, she is. Barely.
She's barely.
What is she, dating Mark Wahlberg in this movie or something? It's creepy when they take leading men in their 40s or something and match them with young hotties.
Speaking of that, there was a movie that came out. This is kind of off topic. It doesn't even really have anything to do with comics. But do you know who David Koechner is?
No.
He's a comedian, actor. He was in Anchorman. He's the bald guy in Anchorman.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
He did a movie like a couple years ago, last year, called Cheap Thrills.
Uh-huh.
And it's like a horror movie about like this couple paying these people to just do crazy shit, right? So David Koechner, I want to say, is easily in his 40s if he's not older. He's 51, so I was even further off. His wife in the movie is Sarah Paxton, and she's 26.
See, that's what I'm talking about. It just doesn't work. It's so freaking... At least you got to give Arnie credit, because in his movies, since he's retired from politics, he's at least matched up with old chicks usually.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, when you have an older actor and you don't match him up with any chick, they just avoid the love story altogether. Like, if it's not a young chick, they don't even talk about love.
Well, that's the way they get people to go see the movie.
That's right.
Is they have to put some hot chick in it. So, like, if your lead's 50, it's like, oh, well, I guess he's got a 20-year-old wife.
Or it's usually some daughter with a drug problem, you know, hooking up with Shia LaBeouf and Ryan Reynolds. Because those are your leading.
You hate Ryan Reynolds so much.
They're not action stars. God damn it. Speaking of action.
Yes.
Maybe we should talk Predator.
Okay.
Predator, one of my favorite cult classic movies of all time.
Okay.
From the 80s. I don't even know if we can call it cult classics, because it was... well-regarded.
I'm going to surprise you.
With what?
And you might not be my friend anymore. Never seen the Predator movie.
No, I'm sorry. My earphones must have cut out. I don't think I heard. What'd you say?
I've never seen Predator.
No, I'm talking about the original movie, not the remake.
Never seen it.
The 1987 or 88.
Never seen it.
Are you...
You're so, like, distressed right now.
You weren't going to tell me this off air?
No, I wanted to tell you now. Get real reaction.
What? Why?
Why have I never seen it?
Yeah.
Meh.
Oh, my God. I can't even. I'm about to walk off here. How do you call yourself a nerd?
I don't think I don't think the Predator movies can be considered nerddom.
Oh, Jesus.
Because
I can't even recover. I can't breathe.
There's so many people that like those movies that I wouldn't consider nerds. So that's why, I mean, it's not
so
that
you,
I like.
Are you gonna watch it?
I didn't. Well, what I'm saying is I never made like a conscious effort to not see it.
Uh-huh.
Like I made conscious efforts to not see like Avatar and those movies, but I just never, it never like crossed. The thing with me is I'm super lazy.
Okay.
So like if it's not on Netflix, I'm probably not going to watch it.
But you know, if your buddy and podcast co-host owns a few copies,
then bring it over.
You'll watch it.
I'm not saying I won't watch it. I'm just saying I never have watched it.
All right.
It's not like I have like some moral fucking code against seeing the movie. I've just never seen it.
Holy shit. Anyway, do you know the gist of it?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I still know the gist of it.
All right. So it's testosterone fueled.
Yeah.
Action just, fest. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, they're
going
Jamaican
to. A Jamaican alien comes to Earth and kills people.
Yeah, it's basically Manny Ramirez.
Because he has dreads, right?
It's Manny Ramirez and like Freddy Krueger mixed together.
Okay, yeah. See, I know the gist of it.
There you go.
I think I've actually seen parts of it on TV before, but it's like I'm not going to watch it. If I've never seen it, I'm not going to watch it on TV.
I mean, it was the best movie to see when you were a kid and you're not supposed to watch those type of movies.
I think that's why I never really saw it. And by the time I got to the point where I could see it, I was like, I don't give a fuck.
Oh, my God. Well, the thing was,
I discovered you could see naked ladies on the computer, and I was like, I don't really need to see a movie.
With your 56K modem.
Yep.
Everybody getting on the phone so you'd lose
right,
your heart.
Right when it gets to the tits, the phone click. Oh, damn it.
No, but imagine watching this on VHS, mind you, with no concept of previews or what the fucking movie's about. It just looks like an action movie.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the first time you see From Dusk Till Dawn if you have the good fortune of never knowing a thing about From Dusk Till Dawn.
Right, right.
It's just all of a sudden like, what? This is a vampire movie? Same deal. It's great. You know what I mean, though? They're robbers, they're outlaws, they're shooting people, they went to a bar to chill, and oh, it's a vampire movie.
Right, right.
Same thing. Anyway, they did announce that, at first it was some misinformation that they were rebooting the franchise, but actually the director is attached to the project, Shane Black. Mm-hmm. He has gone on and said that, no, it's a sequel.
Oh.
So they've got
plenty of... Well, how many Predators were there? There were like four of them, weren't there?
There's a few, but some of it's not canon. The first Predator is always considered canon. Predator 2 was disregarded by Robert Rodriguez in Predators, so Predator 2 is not considered canon by some. I still consider it canon. And then you have the Aliens versus Predator 1 and 2, which I consider horseshit and not canon at all.
Okay.
And then you've got Predators with Adrian Brody, which was really a throwback to the original Predator and a continuation from the original Predator.
Okay, so if I'm following you correct, is Predator 2 part of, could it be considered a sequel?
Yeah, oh, totally. I think, yeah, absolutely. And it really lines up nicely with the first one at the time.
So there was a 20-year span between Predator 2 and Predators?
Believe me, every one of those days was horrible for me too. I'm serious. I was waiting for this movie.
Okay.
So Predators finally comes and it's decent. Now they're going to relaunch it. Here's what I want.
So is this new one a sequel to Predators or to the original Predator?
We don't know yet. Okay. We don't know. Okay. I don't know. I'll be interested to see what they use as canon. I hope they consider Predators canon and they go on with that. I just want Dutch, who's Arnold Schwarzenegger's character, to come back. Mm-hmm. Maybe they put him in a loony bin for 20 years because nobody believed his story.
He wasn't in the second one, was he?
He wasn't in any one but the first, but he survived. Okay. He survived the first. So I say they bring him out of the loony bin, and then they have him lead like a new team, and it doesn't believe him, you know, which that's an age-old plot line, but it works. And, you know, you get the new team, Ryan Reynolds, Shia LaBeouf, other
Mark
rag
Wahlberg.
Team. Yeah, ragtag team of non-action stars.
Bradley Cooper.
They'll fuck it up so bad. Maybe Emma Stone living off plants.
Amy Adams.
Yeah, and then they'll go back into the jungle, and they'll hunt it down.
Give $10 to see that movie.
Right? So that's what I want.
Okay.
That's what I want. So that's my Predator spiel. I'll be interested to know what new details come out.
Predator, huh?
Yeah, I'm gonna make you watch that.
I guess I have 107 minutes to kill. I could watch that now.
No. You don't watch it on your own. It is my duty to introduce people to it.
Okay, maybe that could be an issue one week.
Just your reaction, just ripping apart.
I've kind of thought we should do commentary tracks like that.
Oh, we should.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. We'll make a date. You can bring Predator, and I'll give you your beard brush back.
This guy has had my beard brush for the better part of 2 months.
2 months at least.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is, my wife actually just said something about it the other day.
She like, get that yucky she's thing like, out of here.
She's like, are you ever going to give that beard brush back to Ryan?
These are real boar bristles, man.
And
these
I was
don't
like,
come cheap.
I was like, no, I'm not done masturbating with it yet. I said, it's really good for scratching the inside of my ass crack.
Speaking of the metaphor of scratching the inside of your ass crack, what about this Bat Kid story? You wanted to talk about Bat Kid and how he already had his fame.
Now, let me just put a disclaimer out.
Yeah.
I'm in no way going to demean this kid's condition. Listen, he's got a horrible condition.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, I mean, like, fighting every day just to survive. So I commend him for that.
What's he got again? Cancer?
I think so.
Or is he afflicted with the horrible condition that we all are? Humanity. Human nature.
I can't remember. I don't even remember if they really said. I think they just... Leukemia. There we go.
Oh, that's a bad one.
That's a bad one. So, again, he's 5 years old, man. That sucks. You get dealt a hand at 5 years old that's that. That sucks. So I'm in no way taking away from that. However, I am... I'm not upset with him. I'm upset with society.
Oh, okay.
And the reason is because they keep paying attention to it.
Well, and Bat Kid, to be honest with you, when you brought this up off air, I had no idea he was still in the news. So maybe we better recap who Bat Kid even is.
Okay, Bat Kid is Miles Scott. He's a recovering leukemia patient. And the Make-A-Wish Foundation came to him and said, you know, what would you want your wish to be? And he said he wanted his wish to be Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Make-A-Wish went over the top. And they ended up shutting down San Francisco for a day and turned it into a makeshift Gotham City. So the kid like got picked up by Batman, fought some Batman rogues, and then saved the day. He was awarded like a key to the city. Great heartwarming story. To me, it should have ended there.
And it cost a shitload of money, too, didn't it?
Should have ended there. And the only reason I say that is now there is a planned Bat Kid. I'm not making this up. This is the title.
Okay.
There is a planned Bat Kid Begins documentary.
Oh, shit.
And they're going to Kickstarter for it. Now, what I'm going to say is it's going to get funded.
Wow.
Because people love this story.
Okay, not to be a dick, but say they release Bat Kid Begins and the kid passes away. Do they have to change it to Bat Kid Ends? That's all I'm asking.
No, the last scene in the movie will just be his mom sitting down at a restaurant and looking up, and he's sitting at a table married with kids.
Is that a Christopher Nolan kind of ending?
Yes. So rises
the,
ends.
The butler just glancing at him from across the room.
Because that makes sense, you know.
Bat Kid Begins.
So, I guess what I'm getting at is there's tons of kids that have leukemia.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, so I guess I'm hoping that this isn't just going to, like, pay this family alone.
No, right. Like, wouldn't that be cool if it went to every, like, the whole foundation?
If it did that, I'd be fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the fact that, like, it's centering on this one kid, it's like, I don't know, you know, if someone's, if, like, this family's just getting money, I don't know. Sound like a dick, but there's no way around it.
Who's attached to it? Is this a Michael Moore film? Are we going to bowl for Bat Kid? That'd be an awesome title, Bowling for Bat Kid.
No, I don't. There's nothing that's been announced. It just said it will come to Kickstarter, turning it into a Kickstarter to complete the documentary, which needs a soundtrack, graphics and animations, aerial shots of San Francisco and other special effects. What she basically wants to do is make the documentary about the kid's day as Batman.
I guess they must have got enough footage that day to do that.
I guess so.
I thought they would just do a dramatic reenactment. Cast like...
cast somebody as kid.
You know that kid who always sees dead people?
Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah, get him.
Yeah, he's like 28 now, though.
Well, that's fine. It could be like Saving Private Ryan, where he's at the like cemetery in the beginning, and then he looks back.
Oh, I see.
And then you have some new kid.
Ben Affleck put a post up about Batkid. Mm-hmm. Called him the best Batman ever.
I mean, come on. That's kind of forced as shit, man.
And so that's what I'm getting at, is I'm not...
The best Batman ever. Batman's eternal.
Yeah. And the thing... I can't... Should I read some of these comments under the story?
Yeah, go ahead.
Some of them are pretty funny. One is just a post that says, enough.
See, people on the internet with their keyboards and their anonymity are far more dickish than we'll ever be.
The next one says, I wish I had cancer so I could be back and save the world.
Holy fuck. God damn it.
And then another one says, Am I the only one here who doesn't give a shit about the Bat Kid saving Gotham?
Oh my god.
Then someone goes, then of course you got the fucking stand up people who go, come on guys, we're gonna really hate on a kid who survived cancer. If you don't wanna donate, then don't. But don't sit here and talk shit.
See, that's the fundamental flaw. You got to discern between talking shit about the whole premise versus talking shit about the person and the affliction, which I don't think anybody's doing.
Yeah, I would say the same thing about any news story that I felt ran its course.
Yeah. Yeah. We're just so scared to talk shit about something because of its content.
Because it's a child.
Yeah.
And we can't talk bad about children.
Oh, my.
So anyway, we'll move off of Batkid before we piss everybody else off.
If he gave somebody cancer, nobody'd want to hear about it. He would have been burned at the stake by the media a long time ago. And then,
what if the kid would have said he wanted to be the Joker? Okay, we'll let you kill one person.
What are you going to do now, make a wish? Do you think they coached him on this? Like he initially wanted to be the villain?
Here's a homeless man no one will miss.
Christian Bale would be into that from his American Psycho days.
Ghostbusters, we'll move off that. Mm-hmm. Ghostbusters, 30th anniversary. We mentioned it on the blog before. It's coming up here. I believe it's already passed, but they're going to re-release the movie in the theaters. Over Labor Day weekend, it'll be in theaters for a week. They haven't announced which theaters it'll be in, but they fully restored it in 4K.
Money grab.
Money grab. Well, obviously. It's going to work, though, because if it's at a theater near me, I'll probably go see it.
Oh, boy.
Because I do enjoy Ghostbusters. So we can put the trailer up when this episode goes up, but I thought that was one thing to note, that they've released... It's kind of funny because they kind of did it in the vein of like trailers nowadays.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of funny because it's like got like the sound effects and the epic music and shit in it, and it's just funny because they're obviously tongue in cheek making fun of the fact of like this movie's not serious at all. And the last thing we want to get to today before we get out of here, so obviously there's been a lot of rumors, news going on with the latest Batman Superman movie, and I don't really know how this got leaked, but a few weeks ago a purported script was leaked online. And it contained various different villains, including the Joker being the main villain, Carrie Kelly, who is Robin from The Dark Knight Returns, a female, was going to be Robin. It was going to have Green Lantern, but it wasn't going to. It didn't have Hal Jordan or John Stewart. It had Kyle Rayner as the Green Lantern. Jason Todd was in it. Tons of different villains, and people were like, man, this is going to be action-packed. Well, it then was leaked that Warner Brothers and DC Comics hired Kevin Smith to write a fake script.
He would do it too.
So now, but I gotta say, it's actually quite brilliant.
If that's true, yeah.
It's quite brilliant because now nobody knows what to believe.
Yeah. There's so much disinformation out there.
Correct. So one thing that, like, now we all have to question, is Jason Momoa actually going to be Aquaman?
He's got to be. Did you see that shit-eating grin in that interview?
Well, he's actually come out recently and said, I hear a lot of stuff in the paper. I guess we'll all just have to wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
So
I just want Victor Zsasz to be in it. That was one of the first villains I heard come out in this whole.
Yeah. So apparently, I guess that's kind of smart, though, because in this day and age when everything gets leaked and movies can literally be ruined before they're even out.
Right.
Like, I think it's kind of interesting that that's the way they went about it.
Well, you know, if Kevin Smith, who's a damn fine writer based on his comic book history, if he writes a whole fake script, he could always turn that into something else in the written world.
Right. So, who knows? More World's Finest rumors. Nobody knows what's going to happen now. You almost have to call into question everything that we've heard.
Question everything. We're in a postmodern world.
Right. Right. So who knows? Maybe even Ben Affleck isn't Batman. Who knows?
That would be the day. I'd be all right with that.
No.
Get Ryan Gosling back in the
He's
talk.
He's going to be fine.
Give me Gosling.
Again, I have to hold my tongue when it comes to that because I was the first to say Heath Ledger was going to be a shitty Joker.
Well, nobody knew any better then.
So what
I'm
getting
at is... Give me Josh Brolin.
Maybe Carl Urban.
Oh, yeah.
He was actually rumored to be thought to be the next Batman.
Carl Urban could do anything as far as I'm concerned.
I actually, and maybe we talked about this, I actually heard a very interesting idea that Michael Uslan? I don't know. He was a producer on like the original Batmans, like the Burton Batmans.
Oh, okay.
And he was talking, they were talking about Batman ideas. And he said, wouldn't it be cool, because people have always talked about like including Batman Beyond into the canon.
Mm-hmm.
And he pitched an idea just on this podcast that I was listening to, do a Batman Beyond movie and have Clint Eastwood be the aging Bruce Wayne.
I would laugh my ass off. Clint Eastwood is father time. I mean, he embodies old.
Right. But that's perfect for Batman Beyond.
Living actor
that's perfect for Batman Beyond.
Oh, my God.
Can you just imagine there's Clint Eastwood just sitting in like a rocking chair in Wayne Manor?
Reading a Chrysler magazine.
Just bitching about these goddamn kids. And then you got Terry McGinnis walks in and he fucking puts on the Batman suit and he's Clint Eastwood has to train him. They have my money already.
Clint Eastwood train him. You're going to get killed with moves like that.
Yeah, exactly.
He's harder. Just,
I mean, maybe Clint Eastwood probably can't be as agile as they would need him to be.
No shit.
But, like, it would be awesome to just see, like, an old Bruce Wayne, just an aged Bruce Wayne. Like, you want to talk world weary.
You know what? If they're going to do that, get Rob Zombie to direct it. Just fucking get him to do it because he had to show us a young Michael Myers, so you might as well show us an old Bruce Wayne there,
there you
Robbie.
Go. There you go. So let's wrap this up for this week, and let's get to our top five.
Top five.
And,
top five.
On the subject of Batman, we thought we'd come up with our top five villains in the Batman universe, with one exception. Joker can't be on your list.
Yeah, it's fine. That's fine.
So that's the one kind of exception. So
he's not really my favorite anyway.
Well, but he would probably make a top five.
Yeah.
So I'll let you start, my friend.
Do you want to go?
Or would you like me to start?
Let's go one for one.
Okay,
one for one. Number five, on to one, and you go, and then I'll go.
Okay, my number five is Calendar Man, Julian Day.
Oh, Calendar. Isn't he the serial killer of Gotham?
Yes.
Not that there's any lack of those.
Right. He's obviously, the story is covered in Long Halloween. as well as other early books, you know, graphic novels. He's also, he was in the Arkham series video games, but not as much.
Well, when I flip through the book on the many times I've almost bought it, I don't see anybody that appears like Calendar Man, but maybe is he kind of in the background a lot? You kind of
yes,
sense
he's in
him.
The, yeah, he's in the Long Halloween. He basically kills people on holidays.
Sweet.
Yeah. So that's that would be my number five.
My number five is Deadshot.
Okay.
The master assassin.
Mr.
Who just
Floyd
can't
Lawton.
Miss.
Yep.
Yeah, I enjoy him. I never see him in a proper... I would love to see him in a live-action movie.
Well, he's in the Arrow TV series.
Yeah, he is in the Arrow TV show, but eh, he wasn't that cool in that.
Well, I think season two, they really did much more with him.
Oh, see, I haven't got there.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't got there either, so I think that's why. World's greatest... Well, no, I guess you'd probably say Deathstroke's the world's greatest assassin.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say world's greatest assassin, world's greatest detective, but... Close.
Yeah. Deadshot's got cool gadgets.
Yeah. Number four, I have the Clock King.
Who?
The Clock King.
That doesn't even sound scary. How? What the fuck is a Clock King going to do to Batman?
The Clock King is, he was a villain. The where I really actually got, I started to like him was he was a villain in the Batman animated series.
Ah.
Temple,
what's he look like?
He's got glasses. He's bald.
Whoa. He's like a
Temple,
bald Riddler.
The best thing was his name was Temple Fugit.
Okay. Well, so, what were his powers? What'd he do?
He really didn't have any powers. He was just like a... he was just like motivated by time because like the mayor of Gotham like fucked him over because he said he should change his routine. And his routine, he got fucked over and he lost a bunch of money.
He's so, motivated one, by time. Who isn't motivated by time in some way or another?
In one thing, he actually finds a way to freeze time in one Batman story. So he can, like, steal shit.
This is the lamest villain I've ever heard.
Oh, fuck you.
This is the worst villain.
Okay, let's hear your number four, then.
He's bald, he has glasses, and one time he froze time.
He can freeze time. How are you going to stop that? How's Batman going to stop that?
You're really talking him up.
How are you going to stop that?
He's going to beat his ass.
He freezes
what's the
time and gets away.
All right. I'll do my number four.
Number four.
The Court of Owls. The entire court.
Okay.
Awesome owl mask, secret society people that you never quite, at least I haven't finished that whole Snyder story yet, but in the first trade, I didn't quite know who they were, and maybe I'll never know.
Mm-hmm.
That intrigues me.
Okay.
You know, they put Batman in their little fucking maze.
I don't have any complaints there.
Love it.
Number three, Mr. Freeze.
I like Freeze. I don't like him in the live-action movie.
No. Obviously, again, where I really liked him was animated series.
Yeah. He's good in the video games, too.
Video game, yeah. Just the... Plus, to me, I'm really character story-driven, so, like, his story is just great. His wife has a condition. He can't save her. He spends his whole life trying to save her. And it's also... He's also kind of the villain that Batman always seems to, like... Okay, like, he'll beat the fuck out of the Joker and throw him back in jail. Mm-hmm. But it's always like Batman doesn't want to, like, do that to Mr. Freeze.
Yeah, he's a sympathetic character.
Right.
He really is.
Right. So that he's number three for me.
My number three would be Wrath. And what sold me on Wrath were his play in the Detective Comics, the New 52 Detective Comics. He had a three-issue story arc, and it was cool. He's like Batman with all the gadgets, but he uses them lethally.
Right.
And that's what always intrigued me about Wrath. He could go toe-to-toe with him, and he's just as smart. Similar backstories, just uses it for evil.
Okay.
He's not a cop even, killer.
What's that?
He's a cop killer, too, which I know you always make fun of me, like, so is every rogue. But in this story arc, that was the whole big thing, is he was taking out cops left and right in the city.
Well, because I think if I remember correctly, the reason he is that way is because Jim Gordon killed his parents.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you like that? You like how I pulled that out of my
head? Nice, man. Well, I knew his origin story was remarkably similar to Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
He became a millionaire and
yeah,
all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's my
three.
I
think that's what his backstory was. We're on number two, right? Number mm-hmm. two, Clayface. Mm. I've always enjoyed Clayface. Again, it's the character-driven story.
What's his story? Why is he made of clay?
Well, it depends on... There's been like four different Clayfaces. Most of them are actor Basil Carlo. He was like an actor. He was like a guy nobody paid attention to, so he like started doing work for the fucking mob, and then he became Clayface and he could like act and everybody liked him, so his whole thing has been like he just wanted like attention. I always liked the Matt Hagen story more than the Basil Carlo story. Okay. Matt Hagen was kind of the same thing. He was an actor, but then as he started to like age, he needed like this fucking face cream, and he could like change his appearance with it. Well, then, like, and of course, in comic book fashion, accident happens, and he becomes Clayface because of that.
Yeah, he was fun to fight in the Arkham game.
So, yep. Yeah. So I would say the more Matt Hagen Clayface than Basil Carlo, but they're both good.
So is he sheer brawn or is he brains too?
Probably more brawn. I mean, he's more left to brawn than he is to brain.
Okay, all right. That was your number two?
Yes.
My number two, Ra's al Ghul.
Okay.
For the most obvious reason is Liam Neeson. That is why I love Ra's al Ghul.
Okay.
Liam Neeson could play Calendar Man or that Clock King, and I would love the Clock King if Liam Neeson played it. So.
Okay, so when you come over for Predator, we're going to watch the two episodes with Clock King.
All right, and with the animated series.
You'll become a Clock King fan.
All right, we'll see. To be continued.
And you'll become a Clock King fan, I guarantee you.
But yeah, Ra's al Ghul is cool. I think just how he taunts Batman and how he's just got a different philosophy on fighting crime and a whole shadow organization. Right. Very cool.
Right. Well, that was actually my number one, but I did make an honorable mention list.
Oh.
So that I could replace if someone was taken. So, Ra's was actually my number one, but Scarecrow, I'll make my number one.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Again, as a kid, like, these were all the villains that were in the animated series, and I always liked the Scarecrow. Again,
I enjoyed him.
Great backstory.
Yeah.
The movies didn't really do a great job with him. Like, no,
they made him
movies.
Look like a bumbling idiot in the movies.
Whereas he was like a, you know, he's a psychologist, biochemist. Mm-hmm. So he's not really, I mean, the guy makes his own like fear toxin. He's not a fucking idiot.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'll go with Scarecrow. Plus in the first Arkham game.
Yeah.
Those like parts where you were cool. Like stumbling through the asylum like on his fear toxin and
watch
his parents get killed again and everything.
I remember the one scene in that game where you're walking through one of the higher roofed mansion interiors and it just starts raining inside and you know like something's going wrong and enter Scarecrow sequence.
Yep.
Great stuff.
Yep.
I put my number one as Bane.
Okay. He's on my honorable mention list.
Bane, again, for more or less Tom Hardy's performance in the Nolan movies, but I also really do enjoy the Bane origin story in the, what is that huge trilogy called? The Dark Knight something. You know what I'm talking about?
Nightfall.
Yeah. I thought the origin was done really well there, too, where you really do see how obsessed he is with making himself the perfect human being.
Right.
Not just in tactics and mental capacity, but clearly in strength, too.
Right.
Which is cool.
Yeah, he is the like one of the only villains that just naturally figures out who Batman is.
Yeah. And he strives to rise to every challenge and meets it.
Right. No, that's a good number one. So there's our top fives. If you have a different top five, get in touch with us, Facebook, email. We are superzerospod@gmail.com. And as always, you can check the blog out where we put up pictures from the show and anything else. Like for last issue, we did a I put up the picture of Scully licking Mulder just for you.
I enjoyed that.
So that's superzerospod.blogspot.com. You can check all that stuff out there. I think that's it for this week. This one went a little bit longer than we thought it would. So
yeah, but we had a lot of Bat Kid to talk about. So, you know, what are you going to do?
So until next time, I am Perfect Paul.
And I'm Rudimentary Ryan.
And we'll see you in a couple weeks, guys. Take it easy. Super Zero. Heroes.